Well, all right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to church. It's good to see you. Welcome to all of you that are in the building. Welcome to all of you who are tuning in at church online. It's awesome to be able to host and have all of you here. Things are a little bit different this morning. As you can see, I am joined by my favorite person in the entire world, my wife of 20 years now, Lauren. Give it up, please, for my bride. Woo. It's good to have you. Lauren will be pouring into us today as well. We're going to get into the next installment of a series that we've been calling It's Complicated. So we're talking about relationships, and we're talking about how we interact with other people, and sometimes relationships can be complicated. I think you all can agree. Today, we're going to talk about marriage, everybody. Marriage. And how many of you guys know that marriage can be complicated? It can be. And so we are going to talk about that a little bit today. But before we do, I want to make sure that I announce something that I think is pretty important. Going around, you'll see it in the seat backs in front of you. If you're on the front row, by the way, it's under your chair. If you're online, I will explain. This will not look like this for you. But last Sunday and the Sunday before, we handed out these campus launch interest forms. As many of you know, we will be expanding here in a matter of weeks. So we will be expanding into St. Augustine High School's auditorium next door. This entire facility will transition and become our kids' campus. And so we've got a lot of things going on that's helping us to grow our footprint prayerfully to reach more people. Last week, I talked about this specifically and said, hey, if you're interested in helping make that happen, fill this out. And I talked about there's two directions this can go. You can either say like, hey, I need to go to All Access, which we just talked about in news. And this is how everybody onboards to our teams here, right? And so there's you can identify that, hey, that's the step I need to take. And then the other is that, hey, I've been through that. I just need to get involved. And you can identify that as well. If you did that last week and you heard nothing, I don't want you to be afraid or concerned. Here's basically what happened. For a variety of reasons, we had several team members out this week, and so no one has been followed up with yet, but you will be soon. Okay, so I just want to, if you're like, well, what do I do next? Just hang tight with us. If you're here today and you've not identified that, hey, I really would like to get involved and help you guys with this expansion, this is how you would do that. All Access, you can start today. It'll be at 12:30 today in the auditorium. We will provide lunch for you, and so if you would like to get involved, you certainly can do it that way. If you're online, here's what I would like you to do is just simply go to our website. I want you to go to the Contact Us tab. It's right there on the homepage, and just simply say serve team, and then we will connect with you and help identify your next step that those in-house can do here. So yeah, that's it. Everybody feel good? That's the announcement. All right, sound good? I just didn't want you to wonder why you hadn't been spoken to. So I'm joined by my wife. Hello, wife.
Hello.
It's good to see you as always. So we're going to talk today. We're going to talk today about marriage, and I want to kind of start like this. If just sort of a disclaimer, a little bit of a warning. This Sunday and next Sunday, Lauren and I will both lead these messages. We're going to share the responsibility of communication. We're going to be talking about life in marriage. And so here's what I want to say just to families, that if you have young audiences, children, maybe in your living rooms at home or even in this room with you, just the disclaimer is that we are going to talk about married stuff. We just are. And so next week is probably a little bit more parental advisory than this week. But at the same time, like, we're just going to talk about the things that happens within marriage. Does that sound fair, everybody? So we're not intentionally going to be saying things. We're not talking about anything that's inappropriate. We're just talking about things that are real about life and marriage. Does that sound fair? So I just kind of want you to know that up front. And then the final Sunday of this month, I'm very, very excited. We're going to talk about singled life all day. I'm going to be joined by several members of our team, and we're going to just talk all about life as a single, because certain things apply to you that don't apply to married and vice versa and all that stuff. So if you hang with us, we're going to try to hit everybody in our church as it applies to your life. Sound good?
Yeah.
All right, good. So here's how we want to start today. I'm gonna kick us off with the same verses that we've been starting our series with all year, in fact. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, the Bible says this. This is Jesus replying to a question. They say, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And then Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And then he says, "This is the first and greatest commandment." And I think that some people might say, well, duh, Like, of course, it goes without saying that Jesus should be first. I think most of us in the room could agree that Jesus should be first, but I would like to submit to you that I will not take it for granted. I think it needs to be said. We are going to say it at Church on the Rock, and the reason we're going to say it is because Jesus said it, right? Jesus had to actually say, like, I should just be above everything in your whole life, and if we have a God-centered focus, everything else falls in line. But he continues in the very next verse, and he says, oh, but by the way, there's something else. There's this second commandment that's just like the first. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And if you do this, you'll have it all figured out. That's the Pastor Josh paraphrase version for you right there. You'll have this whole thing figured out. And so as we transitioned into this series, we just moved down to the very next verse. We started our entire series last month with that first verse and now really digging into this verse this month. And so Lauren and I wanted to talk to you today about marriage. And so again, as I mentioned moments ago, we've been married for just over 20 years, which is pretty awesome. We just celebrated that back in January. We have been, thank you. And so, and then we have been together as a couple for next week sometime would mark 22 years that we've been together. Yeah, which is pretty awesome. And oftentimes people will say to us, they will say, wow, you guys do not look old enough to have been married for that long, to which I like to tell them, well, when we got married, it was in fact the biggest event in the fifth grade. It was pretty special. It was pretty awesome.
And not true.
Recesses were never the same after that. I'm just kidding. All right. Amen. So here's what we're going to do. Here's the truth. Lauren and I are not experts about marriage, right? Like, we don't have all the answers. We don't know all the answers. What we are, though, is experienced in marriage. And what we do have, and we talk about this consistently, is a healthy marriage, and we work really, really hard for it to be healthy. And so one of the things that we prefer to do is really talk all the time. Communication is critical. It's very, very important. And so we talk all the time. If we discover that something is working, what we're trying to determine is why. Like, so we're actually talking that out. If something is really clicking and it's just working and like, this is great, why is this working? And so we try to like boil it down to the reason behind it so that we can repeat that process. If this is healthy, then let's keep doing healthy things. And then if things are not working, we're also asking the same question. Why? What is wrong? Because we need to get it fixed. We need to get it adjusted. And we're beta testers. Let's just try some stuff until we figure out something that is working. And so today, what we want to talk to you about is just some things, three things that we've kind of boiled down. We're calling them marital assets. All right, so if you're a note taker, you could write that down. That's the title of today's message. Marital assets. These are things that we believe are essential. Like, if you can hold these things, then you can be successful. You can have a marriage that is healthy, that is vibrant, that is fun, that is alive, that is sexy. Like, you can have you can have the marriage you always dreamed of. You can have that. But there's certain things that are important to having that. And so today we're just going to talk about some of the things that we've discovered in our relationship. Here are the three things. I'm going to go ahead and just let you know the three things we're going to talk about. Here's your assets if you want to write them down. We're going to talk about this, what we assume. We're going to talk about what we affirm. And then we're going to talk about what we value. So what we assume, what we affirm, and what we value. Sound good? Yes. All right, let's get into it. Let's start, Lauren, by talking about the things that we assume. Because what we know is that the winning ingredient to a healthy marriage is to always assume the best. If we are assuming the best in one another, it really diminishes a lot of things. But there's some realities when we assume the best. There are some realities when we assume the worst. I've been talking the whole time so far.
You're doing a great job. So, keep going.
Talk to us a little bit, Lauren, your thoughts about assumptions and what maybe perhaps assuming the worst can do in a marriage or in a relationship.
Yeah, I know that it's sad because it seems to be natural for us that we want to just assume the worst. We always assume that something was meant some way, that something that was said or done, like, oh, that's how they meant it, and that's how we take it. But there's really no truth in that, and that's where the problem is, because we're believing things that aren't true. And then we're setting our spouse in a poor light based on our own opinion, you know. So I know for me personally, when I'm assuming the worst, I'm the type that I'm just going to retract. So I think that he said something and he meant it one way. So I'm going to hold it as that because I'm very non-confrontational. Like, I don't even want to have a conversation about it. So I'm going to hold on to it as that. And it's just going to like eat at me, and it's going to continue to just fester and become worse and worse. And all because I'm just assuming something that's not even true. And it's really creating that separation.
I'm exactly the opposite in that if I have the wrong assumption and I assume the worst, I tend to react. So what we've discovered, Lauren and I, is the differences between our personalities, the difference between how we respond to things. And these are important that you talk about within the context of your marriages, is that you understand the difference. So me being a communicator, I'm a problem solver. Like, I'm the type of guy that, like, there's a phrase, run to the roar. And I'm like, well, I just want to run right to it. And like, what's the problem? Let's get this figured out. Let's get this fixed. But I know about me is that if I start assuming the worst, if I start with negative assumptions, my reactions come from a completely different place. My reactions come from a place of like, what in the world? You know what I mean? And I might start having a little bit of an attitude, or I'll show up to a confrontation or a conversation with her with this assumption that like, why would that happen? Why would you do that? Why would you not do that? What went wrong? You know, or whatever. And if I show up that way, I have a tendency to react with a little bit of like self-centered focus. Whereas if Lauren, being the quiet one, has a tendency to, if she assumes the worst, then she has a tendency to just draw back and just like retract. I can't believe it, and then get quiet. Well, then when she's quiet, there's a problem. Like, I'm like, what's right? And so what we've recognized in our relationship is that a negative reaction typically comes from a poor assumption. A negative retraction typically comes from a poor assumption. And so what we've had to do is we've had to kind of work and train our minds and our hearts to just begin to assume the best. I need to assume the very best about you, because now if something goes different than I thought, well, if I now assume the best, it changes the posture of my heart. So now, instead of reacting in a way that's like, I can't believe it, or I thought we agreed, or whatever, my posture is, well, certainly you didn't mean it that way, or certainly I misunderstood something, because this did not go the way that I would have expected. And now the posture of my heart is now pointed more toward her and less toward me, and it all started with me, with the assumption. Whereas if you want to elaborate on this, you can. Whereas if you assume the best, like, the retraction is different.
Yeah, I'm much more like, if I'm going in with assuming the best, then I feel okay I don't shut down when I'm assuming the best. I will then engage in a conversation and say, hey, did you mean it this way? Because that's how it felt, or, you know, something like that. And then there are those moments where something is said or done and it really was harsh. Like, it really, like, it was not nice. There's no way to really necessarily assume the best about what was said. But if we go in with assuming the best about their character, that, like, that is not who they are, then we can really dig into, like, well, why did they respond that way? What is going on in their life? Because so often we just want to look at ourselves and the way it affected us. But really, if we can say, okay, that's not their character, and I know that's not who they want to be, so maybe I need to just find out, what's going on with you? How's your heart? Like, what's happening in your world right now, that you seem stressed? Or, you know, how can I help you? How can I serve you? So if we really go in with just more of a heart for them and assuming the best, even when something wasn't nice, it can just really resolve the situation.
That's really, really good, is just that character. And I think that us having the conversations about those things are really, really important. And I think when we go into these conversations, which, by the way, let me just say something, that, like, conflict is not bad, right? Conflict can resolve issues. But if I go into these, like, brave conversations, I'll call them, but I go in with a good assumption of you, then what I'm trying to do is I'm just trying to gain understanding. And the Bible talks about this. The Bible says in Proverbs that fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. And recognize what the scripture is saying, that the fool is really only concerned about themselves. My agenda, my way, how it affected me. And when we will seek out understanding, even in the context that you just mentioned, that, like, that is not in your character. I know that is not who you are. Therefore, my positive assumption leads me to think, what's going on? Now I'm fighting for you instead of fighting against you. Something's going on in your world that I want to come alongside you with. I want to help. So help me understand, what pressure points are you having right now? What are you feeling? What's going wrong and why? How can I support? And when you get into these conversations, which I think, by the way, there's this undertone that for the entire, like, talk today is, like, we have to communicate about these things. We have to. And one of the things that I would highly, highly recommend is that when you and your spouse are in these conversations and you're communicating, you're seeking to understand, I would encourage you to validate how they feel. So you might not always have to validate what they did, but you can validate how they feel, how they perceived something, how it was. Okay, I understand that that's how you felt. But I would like for you to understand that was not my intention. That is not what I meant. And then you, on the other side, should go, okay. Like, I can validate. Do you see what I'm saying? Because if I'm a fool, I don't want that understanding. I want you to know where I stand and how I can't believe it. And now what I've done is I'm just making poor assumptions, because the only thing I really care about is that you know how it affected me. But listen, this is not a me game. This is a we game that we are in. If we're going before the Lord in this beautiful relationship called marriage, which is the one relationship highlighted above all relationships biblically. It is the relationship, by the way, that God uses to put a picture toward his relationship toward us. It is valuable. No wonder Satan attacks it the way that he does. It's a spiritual thing that we've entered into when we cross the threshold of marriage, and the enemy hates it because he sees the picture of Christ and his church. That was a small digression, but it's true. It's really true. All right. Lauren, let's go to number two. We've talked a little bit about what we assume. Let's talk about the second thing.
Yeah, what we affirm. Affirmation is just super, super important, and there are a lot of different ways to affirm. For me, I know that the first thing that typically is on my mind when we talk about affirmation is words, just using words to affirm, which is high for him. It's a really good way for me to affirm Josh's with words, but something that I've had to really learn and work on over the years, and I still, 20 years of being married, I still have to work on using words, because it's just not natural for me. It is not natural for me to affirm with words, but I know that it means a lot to him. So when I can affirm him in that way, I know that it draws the best out of him, and it actually draws him to me as I am affirming him in that way.
Because affirmation, like, every person in this room tuning in online, we all need to be affirmed. Amen. Like, something, even if you don't know how to articulate that, something deep within us longs for affirmation from all kinds of places. We want our bosses to say, good job. Yeah. You know, we want our coach to say, you're going in. We want people to say, attaboy. Way to go. And in our relationships, particularly in marriage, like, I'm going to tell you right now, you need affirmation there more than any other place on earth. Let me use a little example. I'm going to draw this right from a book that we're currently reading together. Let's just use an example. There's a gentleman, and he's overwhelmed at the office. He is behind on getting some things done. He's not sure how he's going to resolve a financial sort of an issue that's going on. He feels a little bit behind at home because he's been working a little bit too much. And one of the kids is having a little bit of a struggle in school, and he feels like, gosh, I gotta figure out time and a way to kind of resolve that issue. And he's got all these things going on. And one day he gets to the office, and he sets his stuff down, and he flips open his briefcase. And when he looks in there, his wife has left a little teaser photo for him in there, a little teaser photo. And she just says, hey, listen, I know you've been going through a lot, but when you get off of work today, I've got a night planned for us, and I just want you to be able to relax and enjoy, and this is just a little taste of what's coming. Okay? I'm gonna tell you right now, with all the pressure and stress at work, with all the things going on at home, with all the overwhelming things that man might be feeling, you know what he's sitting at his desk saying right now? I'm the luckiest dude alive. Because there's some affirmation given. You're desired. You're good. I'm going to pull pressure off of you. And what I've learned with Lauren is that I have to study her. Here's one of the biggest problems men have. Ready for it? We will work. We're like deer hunters. We will work hard to win your heart. And once we do, we mount that baby, throw it on the wall, and we pursue something else. I'm right. And here's the problem. We stop pursuing her. But can I tell you something? When we pursue her, it affirms that she's beautiful, that she's attractive, that she's mysterious, and that she's being sought after. Listen to me, men. I can only speak as a man to the men. Never stop pursuing your wife. And so what I've had to train, and I've had to like get my mind in the game at moments, willfully say, bro, you need to focus. Because nothing matters more than this. And I have to study Lauren, and I have to determine like what's going on in our lives. What season are we in? We'll talk a lot about that next week. What season are we in? And what is going to affirm her now? Because that's another problem we have. Gosh, and I'm getting a little, like, I'm just talking a lot. But that's another problem is we naively think that if it worked once, that's the recipe. It'll work every single time. And that is not how ladies tend to be, okay? And so what we need to do is study out how the affirmation is, because sometimes if I clean the kitchen, it's an affirmation to her that I see that you cooked and that you prepared and that, you know, and like it's just a simple act. It's a chore, but it can do a lot for her if I'm telling her how beautiful she is, if I'm like all those things like, affirm, 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 and listen, like err on the side of over-affirmation. Do too much. But don't err on the other side. It's unhealthy. It's unhealthy because you need affirmation. And then, and I'm going to let you talk, I promise. And then I would say that you need, again, conversation and communication is important. Like we need to talk about what affirms. Mm-hmm. What does affirm you? What do you need? What are the things that are meaningful to you? And then when she starts talking, however you get that data, you need to know it. You need to know it, and you need to get it in there so that you can continue to affirm and affirm and affirm. Because if we always affirm, we always win. We always win. You got anything else to add to that? No? All right, before we transition to our final point, I'm going to tell a quick story. I don't know if this is a true story at all. But this also came from a book that I read. And this story goes like this, that this couple had been married for a lot of years, and things were just different now. The spark was gone, and they were not having the same passion and the same things that they used to have. And he began to become so preoccupied with work and other things that he was trying to achieve that his wife was just like, I'm done. I've had enough of this, and I can't stand it anymore. And so she goes to her pastor for some marital counsel, and she says, all right, I'm done. I am completely over this relationship. I want to proceed toward divorce, and I want to be really, really honest with you. Like, when it happens, I want it to hurt him bad. I want it to hurt. And so this pastor says, okay, I'm going to tell you how to do it. here's what you're going to do. I want you to go home, and I want you to just, I want you to serve him like you've never served him before. I just want you to pour, just, you just do, fix his favorite meals. I want you to do the things that he needs done. I want you to be over the top, and you just begin to just pour your life into his and get him thinking that everything's good. And then when you drop the hammer of that news, it's going to really, really hurt. But I want to meet back with you before you make that decision. I want to see you in a couple of months. I want you to do this for a couple of months. Well, 2 months go by, and she comes back, and she's like, I don't even know what to say. Everything is different. It's unbelievable. As soon as I started to serve him like that and love on him like that, he started to like reciprocate that back to me. Because let me tell you, I don't know if that's true. I would never give you that counsel personally. However, it's a pretty risky thing to do. But if that's a true story, here's what the pastor knew, that affirmation breeds affirmation. You affirm me, I will reciprocate affirmation back to you. Because you're pouring it into me, then my response is to pour it back into you. Like, I want to reaffirm you. And so study your spouses. What do they need? How do I affirm? How do I pour it on? And then just let it loose. Affirm, affirm, affirm. All right, anything else to add? No. This is how all of our conversations go. Pretty much. Pretty much. All right. All right, number three, last thing. And I know this is a lot of stuff, you know, that we're trying to pack into a minimal amount of time. But if you'll take notes and try to apply this stuff, I do think it'll be beneficial. But the last thing is this, what is what we value. The things that we value. And here's what Lauren and I have discovered, is that we should learn to value what each other values. And that's a big deal. So go, say stuff.
this was definitely something that I probably learned later on in our marriage, really, that the things that he valued, I didn't necessarily value, and I didn't think much about it. I just thought it was a personality difference. I don't think about those things the way he thinks about those things. Those things don't bother me like they bother him. But then what I really realized that it was communicating, it was really just showing dishonor. Like, well, I don't care about those things. And when it's communicating, well, I don't really care about you because I don't care about the things that you care about. Something as simple as like order and like cleanliness, you know what I mean? Just at home and
surprise.
So you know me. That's something that was always big to him. I mean, we had kids from the time we were married. So, I mean, it was just things can easily be a mess. I didn't even notice things that would bother him so much. I didn't even see it. It just wasn't in me the same as him. But when I realized it really does bother him. And when I take the time to put something in order, because I know that he likes order, it really just speaks love to him and like, oh, I value what you value and I will honor you in this way. And I will not just have my selfish motives and I will look outside of myself and say, what do you value? So that I can also value that.
I would say even on the other side, because I know I've got some of my obsessive compulsive, you know, friends in the room and we talk about life, that I've even... Like, I've even gotten to a place where I've had to sort of accept that certain things are never going to be the way that I would have them if I was by myself, ever. And for me, so what I have to do is I have to also move toward that value. Does that make sense? I have to, like, I don't know how else to say it. I have to, like, suck that up and deal with it. And so, because what I know is, over time, it always seems to improve. Like, we get better because we communicate, we work toward each other's values. And so I've had to learn certain things. It's like, look, it is what it is. All right, I'm a parent and they're kids and they're not gonna do it the way that I wanna do it. Most people don't. I'm weird about certain things and I have to sort of put that in my head and be like, bro, you're odd. So like, come to their side some and it's gonna be okay, right? Another example from our marriage is experiences. And so I've learned that this is a value to Lauren. For example, the way that I grew up, and the way you grew up and the household you came from and what was valued in your home will probably point to a lot of what you value or expect to have as a value in your home. But remember, two homes are coming together, two paths and two backgrounds, and that's why you have to talk about this stuff. But we never went out to eat, ever. Like, and if you went out to eat, something was really good or really wrong in my house, right? It was not a normal thing. Whereas Lauren's family, that was very, very normal. And so when we got married, she would want to like go out to eat or go do things or like go to, you know, like the fair or whatever, because she has a value on experiences. And like, this is important to me. And this is how memories are made or whatever. Whereas I was valuing the money. Like, I'd rather have the money in the bank. And if we just eat what we bought at the grocery store, we'd keep the money in the bank and we'd just talk here, right? That's how I would think. But the thing is, like, that's not her value, because the experience at the same old table is different than the experience at the restaurant or at the fair or whatever. And so it has taken me time to discover, like, okay, I actually see the value in it now. And I didn't before. And so now what we'll have to do is we'll have to bring our values together, and this maybe you guys said, hey, in order for us to value our resources and to value experiences, we're going to have to come meet in the middle somewhere. And so we're going to schedule out a couple of experiences to have, and then we're going to schedule some things in-house to have, and then we both understand that I am showing value to what you value, but you're mutually showing value to what I value, and now because we're doing that, we're winning. Is that making sense? That's just a real example from our marriage. You guys might have totally different experiences or different scenarios, but in our family, that those are just a couple examples that we've kind of discovered. But in both cases, we each had to go toward the other person. Mm-hmm. Like, it can't just be my way or the highway. That's a good recipe for divorce. That doesn't work. So I'm going to have to come to you, and then you come to me, and let's talk about this, and let's work it out, because somewhere in the middle is the play. Does that sound right? Yeah, like somewhere in that middle is what we got. All right, go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, in Philippians 2:3-4, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. And I really like this. I think one thing that I really appreciate about just the Bible and these kind of verses is it's like, this is not talking in the context of marriage. This is talking in the context of relationship. Yep. So it's like I feel like so often we see verses like this and we think, oh, that's how one believer should be towards another believer. But forsaking it in our own marriage, like, we are believers that are together. So this is how one believer should be towards another believer. So when we really apply those just characteristics of Christ in that being a Christian, being a Christ follower, and how we live our lives out, if we would first put it into our marriage, before we're even putting it into others, like first do it in the marriage relationship, we could really see that beauty of not only do we get to be husband and wife, but we get to be brother and sister in Christ as well. So it's just this amazing, beautiful, deep, strong relationship that we can have when we make it Christ-centered.
Yeah, and I guess in closing, our time went by so fast today, but in closing, I want to remind you guys in our church that are married that you're in a spiritual relationship mm-hmm. that our enemy wants, like, he loves to attack it. There's a couple reasons why I think he likes to attack it, because the Bible says that God hates divorce. Think about that. Think about that. If God has an enemy, and he does, and that enemy knows he hates that, then I think he has a particular agenda. I'm going to make that happen as often as possible. I think, too, that because the Bible points to the marriage relationship as the relationship of Jesus and the church. The church, by the way, if you don't know this, is referred to biblically as the bride of Christ. So like we, the body of Christ, make the bride of Christ. Jesus is referred to as the groom, and he wants to come to a spotless bride. I just summarized a lot of things. But it's the picture. It's the picture that God uses. And so when we stand in front of, and your preacher probably said it at your ceremony, we stand before God and these witnesses. I don't know how traditional your wedding was, but I bet they said something like that. And that's exactly what you do. You stand before the Lord. You make this covenant relationship to commit to each other. And so what I would encourage, what we would encourage, is what we've discovered is that we just, years ago, we just stopped fighting with each other. We just quit. Give that up. And what we do is we fight for each other. It's like alongside. And so there are times that we don't see it the same way. There are times that an issue isn't fully resolved in one conversation or in one moment or in one season. And we go back to it, and we go back to it, and we go back to it. And one of the things, I knew this was going to happen to me. I feel like I could talk about this for hours and hours. We love the marriage relationship. We've been blessed by God to have a good one. It hadn't been a perfect one, but it's been a good one. And so it's easy for us to pour into marriages. But one thing that we discovered years ago was this. I want you to imagine something. Imagine you're writing with a pen on ink, like an ink pen on paper. Right? You just write, 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 and write, and write, and write. And you can just write until it's out of ink. I mean, you can write a lot of things with that pen. But now I want you to imagine that you're writing with a pencil. And you write, and you write, and you write, and you write. And then something happens to the pencil. What happens? The lead gets dull. And then what do you have to do? You have to go back to the sharpener, and you have to sharpen the pencil. And that is an image that we have used in those things that are like the order in the home, or the value of experience, or whatever it might be, that every so often we realize we have to sharpen this pencil. We have to, because it used to frustrate me. I'm a communicator. Like, I said this one time 15 years ago. You don't remember, right? That's just not how it goes. And so every once in a while, if the language is brought up, like, hey, we need to sharpen the pencil on something. We know what that means. We have found that sometimes just starting in a verbal conversation isn't the best way to do it. So she might send me a text that says, I sent you an email. I know exactly what that means. We're sharpening a pencil. I know exactly what that means. And sometimes in reverse, or sometimes it's just a text, you know, that's a little bit lengthier. And here's what we're doing. It's just, we have found ways to communicate about issues, and we have found ways to fight for each other instead of with each other. Now, an email might be the most disrespectful thing you could do to your spouse. I don't know, that might not work for you. It works for us, right? But what we've had to do is find the common language, and we've had to revisit whatever it is, in order that we keep this relationship healthy and alive and vibrant. And we need to make sure that we're always assuming the best, that we're always affirming, and that we're always valuing what each other values. We believe these are assets to your marriage. And if you are doing these things with intention and you're pursuing these things, we just believe that your marriage can improve, can become healthy, yeah? So what I wanna do is, do you have anything to add, by the way? I don't wanna. Nope, okay. So as we close, here's what I wanna do. I just wanna ask everybody in the room, just if you would, just bow your heads with us. Back at church online, maybe in your living rooms, or you know, wherever you are. If you're driving down the road, though, you can just keep your eyes open as we pray. Probably be best. But I want to. We're gonna do a couple things as we close. And the first thing I want to do is I just want to pray for the marriages of our church. I just want to pray over them. And no matter where your marriage is, whether it is like really good or it's just a little boring or it's in trouble, we just want to pray for your marriage. And so no matter where you are, I just want you to receive this prayer over your marriage. I want you to agree with this prayer for your marriage. If you know of a marriage that's in trouble, I want you to think about that marriage. We're going to pray about that marriage. But I just want to go before the Lord for the marriages of our church. Father, we truly come before you, Lord God, with humble hearts. And we recognize that when it comes to marriage, oftentimes it's complicated. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we don't have the right words to say. We don't know how to resolve. We don't know what to do. But Father, I just pray for every marriage in our church, mine and Lauren's, every member of our staff, every member of our team, every member of our church, every extended person that tunes in and listens to us, watches us from far distances. I pray over those marriages, Lord God. And my prayer is that you, Father God, would reawaken each person in that marriage to pursue each other. I pray these marital assets, Lord God, over every marriage. I pray that we would assume the best, Father, I pray that we would just constantly affirm, 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 over affirm all the time. And I pray, Father, that we would learn to value what the other values, that we're always coming to the middle ground of health and vibrancy. I pray, Father God, that you would restore damaged and hurt marriages. I pray, Lord God, that you would reawaken the boring marriages. I pray, Lord God, that you would add fuel to the fire of the marriages that are alive and healthy in our church. I pray that the marriages at Church on the Rock would be examples to the world around us of what marriage should be, what you've called it to be. Help us, Father God, to always be humble. Help us, Lord God, to always pursue understanding. Help us to value others above ourselves. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to ask you, if you would, to bow your heads. Close your eyes. We make a promise at our church that no matter the week, no matter the topic, no matter the speaker, that we're always going to give people an opportunity to meet Jesus. And that's what I want to do right now. And so if you're in this room or tuning in online and a conversation about marriage did something in your heart, maybe it was the idea that Jesus pursues you like the bride. He's after you. Maybe the Holy Spirit of God has just done something inside of you. You say, man, I want to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is your moment. And this is how we do it at our church. I just simply ask you to repeat a prayer after me. And I just want to lead you in that prayer, because this is the best relationship you'll ever have. In fact, every relationship that you ever have will improve because of this one. And so if that's you, you guys know how we do it at the church. Ask everybody to say it. But if that's you, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. I want you to say, dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's congratulate those that said that prayer. Congratulations. Congratulations. Amen. I'm going to invite you guys to stick around one more moment. We got one more thing for you on the news.